Hello, my loves, and welcome to the Hungry for Healing podcast. My name is Emily, your host and newfound cheerleader when it comes to you healing your relationship to food once and for all. I know a thing or two about diet culture, insecurities around body weight, body image, disorderly eating, and overall just having a very poor relationship between yourself, your body, and your plate. I personally recovered from a 10-year eating disorder and started this podcast as a platform to share my own personal experience as well as the experience and science of others around their take on this food battle the world seems to be under. I hope you stick around if you're hungry to heal because you have an entire life to gain and a food struggle to lose as we venture on this journey together. Now let's get started. Welcome back to the podcast. Today I am joined with one of my newest sweet soul sisters, Shannon. She is an incredible advocate online for binge eating and emotional eating, especially not with just women, which I think is a really needed topic area that I know that we'll kind of get into and talk about. So we're going to talk about, you know, kind of the opposite side of obsessive dieting and restriction and talk about our experience with binge eating, if you might be someone going through it as well. And yeah, just really wanted to kind of make you all feel validated. So with that, I'll let Shannon kind of introduce herself and we'll kind of get started.
Thank you so much, Emily. I'm so honored to be here and speaking with you all today. It's really exciting to get to speak about binge eating because 5 years ago, I wouldn't have even said the word binge eating. It was something that I was so ashamed about. It was something that I truly thought I was the only person in the world who experienced. I had heard about overeating, right? I'd heard about eating past fullness and all of that, but binge eating was not something that I even knew existed. And then when I developed binge eating disorder, when I was in college, it was a really dark period of time in my life. So that is really why I created Binge Eating Hope, which is the advocacy platform that I created on Instagram. We also have a website as well. But really just to spread awareness about binge eating and binge eating disorder. One thing that people don't really realize, and I guess we'll just jump right in, is you can have binge eating disorder, but you can also binge eat without having binge eating disorder. So that's one thing that I think a lot of people don't realize is that binge eating is something that happens for a lot of people in a lot of different eating disorders. So just because you're binge eating doesn't necessarily mean you have binge eating disorder. And actually, I'll have Emily link a helpful article that kind of describes what binge eating disorder is in case you're kind of wondering and kind of curious if potentially that's something that you're struggling with. But yeah, I'm super passionate about spreading awareness about binge eating and just talking about it. So I'm grateful to get to do that today with you, Emily. Thank you.
No, I will absolutely link that article. And I think that like, that's a great place to start actually, because something that I've sort of tried to process or been in the process of processing, I guess, for my own eating disorder and food struggles is that I actually, and for people who don't know my full story, I had anorexia and I was actually diagnosed with anorexia. And that was the only eating disorder that I was ever like clinically diagnosed with. And I struggled with, you know, eating too little, restrictive dieting, all of that for many years, and then struggled with binge eating. And it's fascinating that you bring that up because I think so often we think, oh, well, now I have binge eating disorder. When for someone like me, and I'm not, you know, diagnosing myself, but looking at my journey with food, it could very well be that my body was just trying to recover from all of this under eating. And we always get angry at binging. I want to, and I know we'll talk about that as well. I was never angry that like my body was trying to heal, or I was angry. I was never angry when I was like starving, when I was skipping meals, when I was doing all this stuff. And then when my body was trying to heal and trying to recover and trying to get that food back, and I was experiencing binging, I do know that, but I don't believe it was the disorder. I think it was sort of just the end loop of all of my restrictive dieting. And I'm sure you deal with people like that too, where some people, it's just you actually trying to go through the recovery process. And then some people have binge eating disorder where it's just flat out how they struggle with food.
100%. Yeah. And I think that's something that's misunderstood about binge eating is that folks who have an anorexia diagnosis can also binge eat. And later on in recovery, that does happen a lot. Like you said, your body is making up for a lot of lost food and nourishment. And it happens a lot with people who are dieting too. So even if you're not formally diagnosed with an eating disorder, if you're chronically dieting, binge eating is one of the most common side effects from restrictive dieting. So you mentioned, you know, being angry at the binging. I so understand that. It feels so much better when you're not, right? Yeah. Binge eating sucks. No one wants to experience it. But what I try to remind, you know, the people that I talk to, my clients for coaching and all of that, is really what we want to limit here is the restriction. Because the restriction is what's leading to the binging. So when you feel like you want to restrict, that is a good sign that that's actually a binge that's going to come later on. So it's better to not feed into the restriction. I guess that's not really, you know, no pun intended, but it is better to eat, not restrict, because if you struggle with binge eating, that restriction is likely going to lead to a binge.
Yeah, no, I love, and it can be hard for people. I think for me, it was hard for me to wrap my head around, like, oh, well, this sort of, I always say the false fairy tale, but this fairy tale that was sold to me that I can just diet forever and I can undereat forever and somehow I'll be totally fine. Like, I know what you mean, where I felt so alone in it. I really thought that, like, everyone else in the world is dieting all the time. Everyone's cutting calories and carbs and yada, yada. And no one is experiencing binging. Why can't I sort of like keep my discipline, right? And like, and I think people that even that just struggle with binging, they say, why can't I keep my discipline? Why can't I be disciplined and regimented and perfect with my eating all the time? And food just isn't something that needs to be perfected. And it can be so difficult to, yeah, kind of unravel those layers of like, maybe the formula is what's wrong, not the outcome that we're experiencing, which is the binging. Because I recently read like, well, there's two kind of cool things that I saw. One was that at some point in our lives, they're starting to kind of study that if you've ever dieted, you will make up those calories at some point in your life. Like you should never at least extremely diet, right? Like you should never really restrict. And I think about that with myself, and that's how I give myself grace. And I'm sure that's how you help your clients, where it's like, you know, I really didn't eat for many years. And so when I was going through binge eating and even just real like intense hunger, it was like, well, yeah, like I, you know, I have all this to make up for. And then the other thing I saw that was kind of around the binge eating was that sometimes it can be really hard to wrap our minds around that the way to fix our relationship to food if we overeat is to actually eat more. But kind of like that, like if you binge, like the way to fix it is to actually eat more food. And we just keep trying to limit it. We keep trying to limit. We keep trying to limit. Yeah.
Which is a really hard thing for people to wrap their minds around. And that's something that I work a lot with clients, is just understanding that the reason you're binging is probably because you're not eating enough. And it feels like you're eating a lot because you are eating an amount in a binge that would be considered more than a normal, and I put that in quotes, person would eat, because what is normal, right? That's to each and own to make that decision. But it's really challenging when people feel like, well, you know, I need to restrict because I'm binge eating. And it totally makes sense you would feel that way, especially if you're gaining weight. That's a really common side effect of binge eating, and in the culture we're in, weight gain is so demonized. It's seen as the worst possible thing that can happen, right? Which is a really challenging thing to face when you're trying to recover from an eating disorder, including binge eating disorder. Absolutely. Personally, for me, I gained weight in recovery. I kind of like went all over the place, but some people lose weight in binge eating recovery. Some people gain weight in binge eating recovery. It just depends on your body and what your body needs to do. Your body is smart. It's going to figure it out. But it's really interesting to kind of make that shift of thinking, well, maybe my binge eating is not happening because I don't have control. Maybe it's happening because I'm not eating enough and I'm limiting what I am eating, Or even if you're not limiting how much you're eating, if you have mental restriction happening of, oh, I shouldn't be eating this. I am so bad for eating this. This is a bad food. This is unhealthy. This is making my problem worse, right? All of the things we tell us about the food, the mental restrictive thoughts, that can even trigger binge eating. So it's partially, yes, food restriction, and then also the mental restriction. And that's why it's so hard to heal from, I mean, obviously all eating disorders, but binge eating disorder, because, you know, you're just fighting so many of those voices of weight gain is bad and you shouldn't be doing this and you should be doing that. And then diet culture on top of all of it, it's just, it's hard. Okay. It's really, really hard.
Oh, no, you hit it on the nail. And I don't think people talk about it as much. And I kind of want to ask you, you know, the next question of, well, cause I agree with you like so fully, where it's like food also isn't, I think we have so strongly, because of diet culture, correlated food to just weight. So like we eat less to weigh less and we eat more to weigh more, and that's it. And for me, like going through my own recovery, especially when I was struggling with the binging, I had to also look at it as like, what else, why else do I need this? Because there were other reasons. Like a lot of the times I would binge on food that used to be my favorite and I like never allowed myself to have it. And in the moment when, you know, when I would talk to my own like counselor about it, I would say like, I wasn't even hungry. I just wanted it so badly. And she would say, well, you just, yeah, you emotionally wanted it, right? And I was doing what you said. I was sitting there going, you don't need it. You don't need it. You don't need it. You don't need it. And you can want food for other reasons than just like, I'm hungry or I'm not, or I'm trying to lose weight or I'm trying to gain weight. Like food is an emotional piece. It's a, you know, social piece. It's all of these other aspects. And so I just really remember her making that point to me where sometimes it doesn't make sense why you want food. You're like, I'm not hungry, but I really want it. And it's probably always that you've restricted it in some way. You've told yourself you're not allowed to have sweets. You're not allowed to have whatever. And we just don't like to be restricted around things that don't need to be restricted at all. And with that, what I was going to kind of ask you about was, can you kind of define what you define as a binge? Because I deal with people all the time who will say, I can't stop binging. I can't, like in my DMs or things. But when they describe a binge, to me, it's like not even a full meal, right? And so like, what really is a binge? I think people use that word very lax if they've never actually experienced a binge or binge eating disorder, especially.
Right. That's such a good question. So there is a little bit of ambiguity there, right? Because when it comes to a binge, it's not like, okay, X number of calories is a binge. I believe that the DSM categorizes it as an amount that is larger than a quote unquote normal person would eat. And, but characterized also by a feeling of lack of control. So you're eating a lot of food and you're feeling very out of control when you do it. So this wouldn't necessarily mean you're eating your dinner really fast and you finish your dinner. That's probably not a binge. You might have just been really hungry and you were finishing it really fast. But that doesn't mean, even if it's not enough food to be considered a binge, there's what is called subjective binging and objective binging. And in subjective binging, that could mean that it's not necessarily the amount of food that would be considered a binge, but it's causing the same amount of emotional distress. And so even if it's not considered the amount of food that would be a binge and an objective binge, it is feeling like a binge to you because you felt out of control or you felt like you're eating more than you maybe should be, right? In quotes, or maybe what more than what your body needed. And that's a really tricky thing to come to grasp with for people who do tend to move from, you know, more of a restrictive eating disorder. I actually think binge eating is a restrictive eating disorder, but when I say that, I mean anorexia, to binge eating, because they feel like even a meal is a binge. And that could be a subjective binge. But typically when we're talking about a binge, you know, we're thinking about going and getting, instead of having two candy bars, we're thinking we're having 5 to 10 candy bars, to just give an example.
Yeah.
And the other thing is what I, you know, I want to tell people too, is you don't have to binge necessarily on food that is considered, you know, like candy and chocolate and those types of things that people normally would think a binge happens with. For some people, they're binging on food that wouldn't be considered binge food. And again, I put that in quotes because it really is so unique to the individual what foods they're gravitating towards and what foods they're allowing themselves to have. Yeah. The binges are going to happen regardless of the food that they have if the binge is going to happen. So it could be on food like protein powder or rice. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be what we consider to be a junk. And again, putting that in quotes, junk food, because I hate the term junk food.
It's the hardest thing in podcasting because I say all the time, I go in quotes because no one can see you. I know we use the terms like normal, balance, healthy. And I'm always like, quoting, I know. I love that you explained it that way because I actually never knew the two different sides. However, I know I've experienced the two different sides and I can give like the personal example to people listening because I've experienced the whole like, I have gone out, I bought, you know, two pizzas, a box of cereal, 8 candy bars, like blah, blah, came back home, was totally isolated and just ate everything in like 20 minutes. And I've written about that on my blog before, but I've also experienced the binging where I could feel myself just wanting to escape because that is binging. I could feel myself being really overwhelmed, being really upset, being really angry. Some sort of emotion or trigger had come up that I was working through how to deal with. And I've had those binges before where I kind of ate like 12 eggs because it was just all I had. And I just wanted to eat something. And so I think that's fascinating. It's more the state of mind that you're eating in than what you're eating or where or how or whatever. I've also experienced binges around other people. And sometimes people say, you know, you have to be alone. And I've said, no, like I've, you know, it is really how you're feeling about what you're eating. Not really what you're eating or how much. And I also love that you really touched on like how binge eating is restrictive because when I first started my sort of like blog and everything, I wasn't sure who I wanted my audience to be because I had actually had anorexia and then I had struggled for many years with the binging side of it. And I'd even kind of dabbled with bulimia, like unfortunately during that because of the binging. And so I was kind of like, I'm kind of all eating disorder or, you know, I'm kind of like all over the place. I've counted calories and blah, blah, blah. But the more and more I've done this work and you are probably the same way, the more and more I've found that we're all very similar. Everyone has dieted at some point. Everyone has tried to manipulate their food at some point and manipulate their weight at some point. And how you have ended with your food struggle can be different. It can look differently and it can change. Like I've had times in my life where I would kind of go back to restricting and I go back to binging and I go back to restricting, right? It was just always a constant trying to fix, quote, my diet and my body weight.
Absolutely. And it's so interesting to think about too, you know, like you said, the progression, right? Mm-hmm. You had anorexia and then you were binge eating and then you developed behaviors that were similar to bulimia. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think, I mean, diagnosis is very helpful and necessary for some individuals for insurance purposes, for getting the right level of care. In some countries, it's required in order to even see a doctor or a specialist, all of that. But at the end of the day, your food and body struggles are valid no matter if you've been diagnosed or not, right? You experienced binge eating, whether or not you had binge eating disorder. Mm-hmm. And you know, just like someone listening who says, well, I've never been formally diagnosed, but I feel like I'm struggling with this. Your feelings are so valid. And it all comes from that same root of trying to control, trying to numb, trying to use something as a coping mechanism to get us through. Mm. That's what an eating disorder is. That is what binge eating is. It's a coping mechanism to deal with hard crap in our lives. And that's why it's so hard to recover and to give it up because it does serve such a purpose, but it's a painful result. And over time you start to realize like, I can't live with this anymore.
Yeah. That's a beautiful way of saying it, Shan. No, cause I've said that before where I've said like, you know, I think we've both spent many a nights absolutely hating our food struggles, like more than anything, like despising it, crying over it, just absolutely being so upset. But sometimes it helps my clients so much to see what does it do for you, because whether or not it's a good coping mechanism, it's a coping mechanism. Whether or not it's a positive distraction. It's a distraction, right? And so recognizing that in a very, very twisted and dark way, it serves you in some purpose. Like, you know, even in my example, I was so, so angry at it. But when I look back at the whole time of my food struggles, like all 10 years, it kept me alive. Like I needed to eat that food and I needed the calories and I needed, and I think people who even struggle with just with actual binge eating disorder, and maybe they didn't have such a restrictive period as me, it's doing something, because at the end of the day, it is numbing and helping you cope until you can find someone like Shannon, until you can find someone like a therapist and a counselor to help you find new ways. It just never helped me to hate it. Because when you hate it, yes. I think it only brings it about more and more and more, because you're hating yourself. You're not really understanding what's going on. Yeah.
Absolutely. And that's why I think self-compassion through recovery, through healing, through whatever you're going through is incredibly important and very difficult. Yeah. Because when you're hating your experience and you're hating what you're going through and you feel like you're doing it to yourself, it feels really awful. But when you can kind of separate yourself and say, okay, yeah, this is serving me in some of these ways, but we're going to find a better way to serve me now. We're going to find new ways to take care of me. We're going to find things to help cope that don't make me feel bad afterwards. Yeah. Because that's the thing with binging or any of these, you know, disordered behaviors, they feel really good in the moment, or maybe they don't, but at least they're serving a purpose of numbing or filling a hole that needs to be filled. But usually afterwards, the shame storm comes, the guilt, the embarrassment, the feeling like you're a failure, all of that piles on and you're left feeling worse after.
Yeah. And like, and to anyone listening, like you can tell Shannon and I, we've experienced it. You are not even kind of alone. That's like, and it's not a, you know, only women do it. It's not only a certain, you know, race, religion, anything, like apps, like so many people just cope day to day by the numbing of food. Like that really is what binge eating is. And for someone listening, Shannon, how would you say if someone is like, yeah, that's totally me, you know, where do you begin? Where do you begin trying to find a better way to cope, you know, trying to find help? I think personally, the biggest thing I ever did to heal myself ever was to just say it out loud. It is so such a, especially binge eating, it's such a secretive thing. No one can know. People are going to be so embarrassed. Like for me, even, I mean, saying that I was making myself sick was so scary to admit to someone. But as soon as I did, it didn't have power over me anymore. And I didn't feel like just every second of every day, I was so scared of myself, right? I had 100%. People on my side and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, what would you say to someone if they are struggling with binge eating?
I think that's a great first step, is acknowledging what's going on without judgment of yourself. Obviously, there's going to be a lot of fear that comes with that, but I think that acknowledgement is really, really helpful. I think if you have access to therapy, that's my first recommendation for anyone struggling with any type of food or body struggles. Therapy is incredibly helpful, especially if you can find a therapist who has specialized in working with individuals with eating disorders. I think that is, even if you haven't been formally diagnosed with an eating disorder, I think just having that approach is really, really helpful. Someone who understands how people with eating disorders heal and how the process looks. So I would say therapy is a really great place to start. But if therapy is not an option for you, whether you, you know, financially can't afford it, or you live in a place where you can't access therapy, I think getting the Intuitive Eating book by Evelyn Tribble and Elise Resch is like my go-to. Oh, yay. Yeah. Have you read it before?
No, someone else.
Oh, you're going to love it.
To me. Yeah.
It's so wonderful. It's That's so amazing. Wonderful. And I think especially for people who struggle with binge eating disorder, I think it's especially useful. There have been studies done on how intuitive eating can help people with binge eating. And I love the intuitive eating framework and everything. I'm in my certification training right now to be a facilitator for intuitive eating. But I would say that's a really great low cost option to get support. I think the book is like $15 to $20 US fantastic place if you can't afford therapy right now. Honestly, I would suggest both if you can, therapy and the book. And if you really want to go above and beyond and you have the resources to do it, I would say getting a dietitian is incredibly beneficial as well. And then also a coach. So that's what I personally do. I'm not a replacement for therapists or a dietitian. I work with individuals to create action plans in their weekly lives so that they can go from binge eating to intuitive eating. So we focus less on the emotional component. We'll talk about it every once in a while, but that's more of the therapy work. We talk about actionable day-to-day things that they can do, especially when it comes to self-care, routine, building in eating, regular eating habits, because regular eating is something that people struggle with a lot, is like getting meals and snacks in throughout the day. So we work a lot on that in coaching. But yeah, I would say therapy, the intuitive eating book, dietitian, and coach, Shannon, yeah. In that order.
You're right. Like kind of covering all your bases and also just realizing that, you know, and this was my case as well. And this is like the incredible work you do, is it helps so much to have someone watch the pattern for you when you feel so out of control. Like that was I was like, I don't know why it's happening. I'm so angry. Like, honestly, I was just pissed. Like I'm so mad. I was so sad all the time, like all this stuff. And then when I finally sat down and said like, this is what's happening, you know, this is like how I'm feeling. It was so obvious. Like, oh, I always binge at night. Interesting. I don't eat enough during the day. Oh, interesting. Right. There were all these like pieces of a puzzle, right? That was like, oh, it's actually not that crazy. Right. I think eating disorders, any kind, you feel crazy. Like you just feel out of control no matter how you struggle with food. Mm-hmm. And you really aren't, right? I think it's because we keep it all in our head. And when you keep everything in your head and you keep it all inside and it just bottles up, you just do feel nuts, right? Until you can express it and get support and love for it. And that's exactly why we're here. And so, yeah, that was amazing. I love it. That's absolutely incredible. And I think my final question for you, Shannon, would be, how did you really get out of binge eating? If you kind of want to share a little bit of your story of like, what was really, were there any like specific moments, any specific lessons that were like, wow, you know, I'm never going to go back. How was your experience with it?
I love that question. So I'll actually talk about my relapse because I think relapse stories can be almost more helpful than original recovery stories, because you think you're recovered and you're like, yeah, we're doing this. And then crap hits the fan and you're like, oh, actually I'm still struggling with this. So I did have a relapse and it was a really challenging thing for me to face. I didn't want to accept the fact that I was struggling again with food. And it wasn't about the food. It never is. It was brought up because of a really difficult thing I was experiencing outside of that. But I really had to make the choice then and there of like, okay, either I face this for what it is, and I relapsed hard. It was like within a month I was going from like, everything is fine to like, full on binging every day again. So I checked myself in to an intensive outpatient program, which is something I'm very fortunate to be able to even afford because it is not cheap. And I did outpatient treatment for a few weeks. And it really was the turning point for me. I'm so grateful I had the opportunity to go to that treatment center and actually spend the time I really needed to heal. The first time around I had done recovery, but I was like still dieting. And I thought that you could do both. I was like, oh, well I can recover from binge eating and also not eat sugar, and that's okay, but like no, that's just not how it works.
I was always like, and now I'll just be vegan, right?
I did that too. I did that too. Yep. So I am really grateful that I didn't ignore it. I didn't ignore it and let it go on for a long time. I kind of nipped it in the butt and jumped into treatment, and that was my first time going to formal treatment. Before that, I had just seen a dietitian and a therapist, but I'd never gone to a treatment center. Mm-hmm. So that was I'm grateful for that opportunity. I'm grateful to have had that experience. And I think it just showed me that even if, you know, in the future I was to struggle again with food, and, you know, I hope I'm out of that point. I feel like I am, but if I was, I know that I can take care of myself. I know that I can do the things I need to do to get me back on track. And I'm proud of myself for not letting myself sit in it for as long as I did the first time around.
Yeah. Oh gosh, yeah. That is like, that's pretty much the greatest story, because you're so right. Like it, even what you did, kind of how you said, like it came up again, but I knew it wasn't food. So like, what are we going to do about it? And I, that's been my experience, very similar, right? Like so I live with my boyfriend, Luke, and I've told Luke before, like, I same thing. Like, I hope that I never struggle with food again. I hope I never even think about food again. And, but there are still random days sometimes, right? That you just feel off with it. You feel, I eat more, you know, I kind of eat very mindlessly. Some days I don't eat as much and I'm aware that I'm not eating as much, but it's just that constant thing of like, I will never, ever, ever let it get out of hand. And every single time that it does show up again, why is it showing up? Not getting angry at the food, not immediately going like, great, I ate 4 cookies, like, F me, I gotta go on a diet, right? It's like, no, why did I feel like I'd eat 4 cookies? Like, the food has nothing to do with it. That's the hardest thing of eating disorders. The food is just a band-aid. It's just how we express the pain that we're carrying around. So what is that pain? How can I express it a better way? And just realizing that there is no perfect. There's no perfect. That was our whole problem with how we got started and struggling with food, was trying to be perfect. And so, yeah, just giving yourself more grace, more space. And I think that's beautiful. And asking for help and knowing that it means nothing about you or your journey or anything. You just got to get out of it faster. And like, what a blessing that is. So yeah. Absolutely. Thank you so much, absolutely, Shannon, for being on. Like, please, like, tell us where we can find you. If someone would love to work with you, as they should, where can they find that? Like, all of your information.
Thank you, Emily. Yeah. So you can find me on Instagram at BingeEatingHope. We're also bingeeatinghope.com. Feel free to send me a DM on Instagram. I would love to chat with any of you. And you can also email me at shannon@bingeeatinghope.com.
Thank you so much. And yeah, and you can connect with her. I'll link everything down below and you can find me as well. And I can easily give you Shannon's information, but I really just appreciate it so much. And I hope that, I know that it touched someone listening, because I know that this is something that so many of us go through and so many of us are scared to say. And you're never alone. And there are reasons as to why it's happening, which means that there are, you know, mechanisms and ways to kind of heal that inner pain and stop it from happening again. So yeah, we'll
absolutely
talk to you soon. Thank you so much, Shannon.
Thank you so much.